when you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street.
Kilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night.
Melikilikimaka is a wise way
to say Merry Christmas to you. Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright,
the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas.
A very Merry Christmas.
A very, very Merry, Merry Christmas to you.
And this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, coming to you today from the very heart, the very epicenter of Broadway. And if you may be swayed by those swaying palms over in Hawaii, that's nothing. We are going to go to Spamalot today. We are going to go to Duloc. We are going to go to Edgewater, Indiana, because our special guest for our holiday show is Christopher Sieber, who is giving the textbook definition of a delightfully amusing performance in The Prom. Welcome, Christopher.
Thanks, Larry. Thank you.
How was your trek over here?
Trek was not fine. Luckily, the Longacre Theater is only like four blocks away, so it's easy to get over here.
So it's only a million tourists.
It's the fun part of the year, of course, when tourists from all over the world come here and they always want to see Times Square. So many people, it's happened to me a couple times where in the heart of Times Square, crossing to go across to the Equity Building, and I'll be in the middle of Times Square, which is on 46th Street. Right. And it's the heart, the center. And people will come up to me and say, can you direct us to Times Square? I put up my arms and I turn around and like, welcome to Times Square. And they're like, oh, yeah, I thought it was over there. No, it's right here.
They weren't paying attention.
Well.
As a performer, I imagine you've had a number of seasons because you've been on Broadway now for the last
25 years.
25 years.
I know.
What's it like playing at Christmas time? Is it a different kind of buzz?
It's great, actually. Business is great. I mean, everybody wants to see a show on Christmas, so it's terrific. And we are exhausted because they actually smush shows. The good thing is we get Christmas Day and usually Christmas Eve off. So we get 2 days off. But we have to make up those shows. So sometimes we'll do 6 shows in 3 days, which is a lot, especially on a Broadway show because it's full out, 130% every single time. Yeah. But the energy of the audience is always great because they're in a great mood. So when they come to see the show, they just want to be entertained and they're just over the moon. It's such a great memory, you know, building thing for families. And there's families that come with their kids and they pass that tradition on. So it's terrific, you know, and you get to meet the people after the show, of course, and they're just so appreciative. And, you know, luckily we love what we do. So we love that they love what we do.
Wow. Well, if you go into the prom at the Longacre Theater in a good mood, you will come out trebly happy because it's such a wonderfully, I think, well-constructed, right for our time, and still a kind of throwback in the best way. Yeah. It's one of my favorite things that I've seen in a long time.
Thank you.
And speaking of my favorite things, people always sort of ask, how did Rodgers and Hammerstein's song From the Sound of Music get to be a Christmas song? And we're going to play the first instance I know of, the Jack Jones Christmas album from 1964, where he shoehorns a little Rodgers and Hammerstein into the Christmas season.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-collared ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzels with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, then I don't feel so bad.
Now, another favorite thing I had was I flew to Chicago in one of the worst snowstorms ever and almost lost my house seats to see a show called Spamalot trying out in Chicago. And I loved Monty Python. I saw it, the first showing of Monty Python and the Holy Grail in 1975 in New York City, and Eric Idle gave me a coconut. But it was nothing compared to how much fun I had in that show and how much fun I had watching you. It was
an
amazing moment.
It's one of my favorite, my favorite thing right now is the show that I'm currently in. But Spamalot, people ask me a lot, what was your favorite show that you've done so far? And I don't even hesitate. It's Spamalot. Obviously, why? Because A, it's Monty Python. B, that cast was insane. And working with the actual Pythons. I mean, they were there.
Right.
And we got to know them. I mean, Eric Idle and I are friends. It's great. John Dupre wrote the music.
Sure.
We're friends. Then the Pythons would come intermittently during the run. John Cleese used to just hang out in the stairwell.
He did the voiceover.
He did the voiceover for the feet of the voice of God. But he would come to the Schubert when we actually came to New York. And he would just hang in the stairwell
And I'd be like, John, go see the show. He said, Christopher, I'd rather not. I just like being back here with all the action. I'm like, okay, that's fine. He says, Christopher, how are you today? Mr. Cleese, I'm fine. Please, John, call me John. Like, it was absolutely insane.
Now, did you know you had one of the great comedy songs of our generation?
The song that goes like this?
Yeah.
Well, I had come to the show later because my friend Doug Sills decided that it wasn't right for him, and so he left, and so they brought on me, which is yay for me.
Right.
But they were about 3 or 4 days. They were still in New York, and I was hired, and then I had to go in a room after I was hired and, first of all, get my costume measurements and then learn this song called The Song That Goes Like This. And first time meeting Sada Ramirez, and we went into the room, we started working on this song, and we came up with a bunch of stuff that's now currently recorded for all eternity that wasn't originally in there, just because Sada and I worked so well together. And with Eric and John's blessing, we ended up with, like, yelling at the conductor and the key changes and the swearing and that, all of that kind of got into the song. I had no idea, because I didn't know I knew it was Monty Python, so I knew it was going to be funny, but the audience reaction was so great, and I was so happy with it.
An unforgettable moment in the theater. Let's hear it.
In every show, there comes a song like this. It starts off soft and low and ends up with a kiss. Oh, where is the song that goes like this? Where is it? Where?
A sentimental song that casts a magic spell. They all will hum along. We'll overact like hell. Oh, this is the song that goes like this.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Now we can go straight into the middle eight. A bridge that is too far for me.
I'll sing it in your face while we both embrace,
and then we change the key.
Carry it away.
That's awfully high for me.
But everyone can see we should have stayed in D.
For this is our song that goes like this. I'm feeling very proud.
You're singing far too loud.
That's the way that this song goes.
You're standing on my toes.
Singing our song that goes like this. I'm sure.
That's the trouble with this song. It goes on and on and on.
For this is our song that is too long. Jesus Christ, God damn it!
We'll be singing this to who?
You'll wish that you weren't born.
Let's stop this damn refrain
before we go insane. The song.
Troubles will be out of sight. the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore, faithful friends who were near to us will be dear to us once more. Someday soon we all will be together, if the fates until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas
now. This is Larry Maslon here for Broadway to Main Street, our holiday show with Christopher Sieber. Every year I bring on a wonderful Broadway celebrity, and every year they pick that song. What is it about that song?
It's so great. It was just one of my favorite songs as a kid. Judy Garland just singing it with that beautiful voice. And then I actually eventually did Meet Me in St. Louis, the second national tour of that back in 1990. And I played John Truitt, the boy next door. And it's such a poignant moment in the film. It's all about family, and it's optimistic. Yeah. You know, things may be going bad now, but we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. So have yourself a merry little Christmas. I love it.
Wow. And one of your first Broadway entrees was in the Christmas Carol that was done at the Paramount.
Theater, which is now the Madison Square Garden Theater down there. And it's like, it's 6,000 seats or something. Wow. It's in one floor, though. It's really strange.
Yeah.
So when you're in the back, you're like three blocks away.
Right. And you told me you had a brutal, 15
shows a week, yeah.
Wow.
And it was the first year they had done it. And I think it was the Dodgers who were the producers, and Alan Menken wrote the score and with Lynn Ahrens. And they wanted to try something to, I guess, rival the Radio City Christmas Spectacular. And so they chose this show. And Alan Menken's score is fantastic. We had a humongous orchestra. I think there were 50 pieces or something, which is kind of unheard of. And we also had like 180 people.
Right.
Because we had choirs from local schools and churches come and be part of the show in a finale. And so there was a time at the curtain call where there's almost 180 people on stage. It was quite something. It was spectacular. And we'd have costume changes that we were in one number, and then we had to run through Madison Square Garden, through the rotunda and everything to make a costume change.
Yeah.
But it was, like I said, it was three blocks away. So you had to run and then make an entrance completely up, you know, in the house and come down in a whole nother costume. And you're just sweating.
Right.
Everybody in that show, we started about, I think, late June, and we ended, I think, January 8th or something. We all lost like 20 pounds because we're just running.
Wearing mutton chops and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear a cut from this, which you are included.
This is great. I mean, this is one of my favorite because it's the finale of the show, and it's just so, it's just lovely. It's just a lovely song.
In your Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome the Manhattan Transfer.
It's coming round. The Christmas snow is white on the ground. When old Santa gets into town,
he'll be coming down chimney down. Coming down chimney down.
It's a holiday season, and Santa Claus has got a toy for every good girl and good little boy. He's a great big bundle of joy.
He's coming down chimney down.
Thank you. This is Larry Maslon with Christopher Sieber here for our annual holiday show on Broadway to Main Street. Now, they say there are no small parts, there are only small actors. And if there was any doubt, you were one of the great Broadway clowns of the 21st century. You sealed the deal with Shrek. Were you a fan of the movie? Was this something you ever expected to do?
I loved the movie. I loved the movie. I was doing Spamalot at the tail end. I was in the West End opening it at the Palace Theater in the West End. And my friend Jason Moore, who directed Shrek, emailed me and he says, "Hey, can you help me out with this project I've got with DreamWorks?" And I said, "Sure, what is it?" And he says, "It's Shrek." And I kind of rolled my eyes. I'm like, "Oh, really? Really?" And he said, "Yeah, come, you know, when you get back, we're just going to have a read through and we're just going to, you know, see what it is. If we have anything, you know, it may not be anything." And David Lindsay Bear was the book writer and the lyricist along with Janine Tesori. And we got into the room and we just kind of read it and just went through it, and it worked. Uh-huh. It worked. And for some reason, the role of Farquaad completely connected with me. I have no idea why, but it just did, and it was very funny. And David was very cool of like letting me go off and improv and find things, and so there's a lot of me in there as well.
You also, you know, you're so good at grounding a character, and yet you have a kind of Bugs Bunny quality where you pull in all these little neat references to pop culture without hitting us over the head.
Right.
Is that, were you the kind of kid who got up Saturday morning with his cereal
and watched everything? I was totally that kid, yes. I'm from a rural town called Wyoming, Minnesota, and there wasn't much to do, especially on a wintry a wintry Minnesota morning.
Which was most of them.
Yeah, exactly. So we would, Saturday morning cartoons, we had about a four-hour block of just Looney Tunes.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, that's where I learned about opera.
Right, sure.
That's where I learned about geography.
Right.
Through the Looney Tunes.
Right.
I know where Paris is because of Looney Tunes.
Right.
I know the Barber of Seville.
Right, right.
And a little Wagner, of course.
Of course. You know? Yeah, great. What a great treat. All right, so let's hear.
Here we go.
What's up in Duloc?
What a terrific surprise. Once upon a time, this place was infested. Freaks on every corner, I had them all arrested. Hey, nonny, 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 no. If you had a quirk, you didn't pass inspection. We all have our standards, but I will have perfection. And so, things are looking up here in Duloc.
Just take a look.
The things I'm cooking up here in Duloc.
He likes to cook.
A model that amazes. A plan with seven phases.
Bum, 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 bum.
Things are looking up here in Duloc.
They're looking up.
Into luck. The ladies all look swell. The men are so dashing. Thanks to my new dress code,
the fashion's never clashing.
Hey, nonny, 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 no. This castle I had built up is taller than the cliff tops. A city like a postcard, a monorail and gift shops. And so,
and so,
and so,
and so.
No one from the gutter in Duloc.
He's taking aim.
Embrace the cookie cutter in Duloc.
We're all the same.
The upshot is enormous when you can shut
and form us.
Yes,
things
are looking
up.
Here in Duloc. Hey, let's hear it for those Duloc dancers. Aren't they terrific, huh? my hard work and my rigor have made me so much bigger. Things are looking up.
Things are looking up.
Things are looking up here in July.
Up.
Here in July.
Through spring and fall, to hear silver bells ringing and winter time bringing the happiest season of all. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe will help to make the season bright. And tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you.
Happy holidays.
Mama!
Now, Chris, when you made your playlist, you said you could hear that song four times in a row.
I just listened to it all the time.
We're not going to do that.
I'm such a freak about it. I really do love it so much. Every time it comes on the radio, but also I have it on my phone, and I'll just keep playing it over and over again because it's just so uplifting. It's so much fun.
That's true. It's hard to be. It turns your frowns upside down.
It does.
I have friends who live in New Jersey, and I was not able to get out to Paper Mill to see you play Daddy Warbucks and Annie.
It happened.
Now, for the funniest man on Broadway, that's one of the squarer roles ever written. How did that happen?
Well, there's humor in everybody and everything.
That's true.
There is humor. So people asked my interest. Mark Hobie, who runs the place, he said, "Hey, would you even consider this?" And I said, "Yeah, but also my friend Beth Level was already playing Miss Hannigan."
Right.
So I was, of course, I always want to play with Beth because she's hilarious and wonderful. But then I thought, as I said yes to it, I was like, oh, I've finally crossed the threshold into those roles now where I'm playing the daddy.
Right.
I'm playing the role as, and some people said I was too young for it. I disagree. I don't think I was too young for it. But I did shave my head, which was, I let the girls playing Annie, we had two, and then the orphans, I let them grab the buzzers our last day rehearsals, and they shaved my head.
Oh,
well,
wow.
They clipped my head. I wouldn't let them shave. I wouldn't let them near a razor.
Right.
But they it was sort of a,
so it's like the beginning of Full Metal Jacket.
With orphans. I thought it was a great bonding moment, and it certainly was. And it was a terrific show. And I had to shave my head every single day. But it was great taking a shower because you could shower in a minute.
Yeah.
It was awesome. You just, I'm done. Except you had that Velcro head for a while.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have you in this cut, but it's a great Christmas song.
It is.
From Broadway.
I know the depression's depressing.
The carols are sealed, the scores are filled,
and windows are minus their dressing.
The children don't grin, the Santas are thin.
And I've heard a terrible rumor, no goodwill, no cheer, but we'll get a new deal for Christmas this year. All through the land, folks are bawling
and filled with despair, 'cause cupboards are bare.
But Santa's got brand new assistants. There's nothing to fear. They're bringing a new deal for Christmas this year.
I'm Charlie Perkins. I'm Dickie's Wallace. I'm Morgan Thorne Cummings.
Fill a pocket.
Well, a great new deal for Christmas for Broadway audiences is the prom at the Long Acre Theater, which is just one of the most fun times I've had. I brought my 10-year-old, and he loved it. And he was
so
like,
good.
"Dad, you keep taking me to musicals set in high school." And I said, "But this is, I said, I teach musical theater at NYU, and I said, if Adler and Ross had written a show in the 21st century, it would have been the prom."
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It's got that great old school for theater, and it's got a modern edge to it. It's
Matthew
got a message.
Sklar, who wrote the music and did the lyrics with Chad Beglin, they've worked together a lot. they had the challenge of writing basically two different musicals, yeah, because there's the, what we call ourselves, the Olds, Beth Level, Brooks Ashmanskas, Angie Schwar, and myself. We call ourselves the Olds because everybody's literally half our age or less, right, in the ensemble. So Matthew wrote the music for the young kids, and then he wrote it for the old school Broadway people. So there's that Broadway, yeah, feel when we sing, and then there's the kids stuff, which is more, much more contemporary and upbeat and really like hip hoppy almost.
Yeah.
And it's just so full of energy, so full of energy.
Well, one of the most energetic moments is you go out into the 7-Eleven in Edgewater, Indiana, and you try to convince young people to understand the multifaceted hypocrisy and contradictions in the New Testament in a great number.
You know, like you do.
Like you do. It's one of the, you know, I always said it was one of those numbers.
Yeah, you know, like you do.
So here, folks, I think it's before the record actually will hit the digital stores,
yeah,
is Christopher Siebert,
yo,
in Love Thy Neighbor.
You can't cherry pick the Bible choosing which parts you want to believe.
We don't do that.
You don't. What's this?
Haley has a small tattoo. That tattoo would be taboo. What waits for you? An eternity in the fiery pits of hell.
Hey!
Shelby, you seem sweet to me. But if it has come to be, you've lost your virginity. We'll be stoning you and your family as well.
What?
Or we could use some common sense instead. When you're lost, it always helps recalling those immortal words that Jesus said. There's one rule that trumps them all. Love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor trumps them all.
Sense. What are you talking about? You don't feel even slightly bad for Emma? You guys used to hang out. That was before she turned gay. Well, maybe she was always gay.
Exactly, because that's how God made her, Shelby.
He's just trying to confuse us. My stepdad always says...
Whoa! Stepdad. You mean your parents are divorced?
Yeah, so?
Oh, divorce is a big no-no.
Not to oversimplify, but the scripture does imply that your mom will have to die. How's tomorrow if she's not got any plans? There's no way to separate which rules you can violate. Let's hope you don't masturbate, 'cause the scripture says we'll have to cut off your hands, or we could use some common sense instead. When you're lost, it always helps recalling those immortal words that Jesus said. There's one rule that trumps them all. Love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor. Holy Spirit.
great.
I think that's a classic. That's up there with Nelly Kalikimaka. So we're going to sort of finish out with a song that's from a movie I've loved forever, and I'm finding as time goes on, more people love it.
Yeah.
And you strike me, you talked about playing Daddy Warbucks, but you are the comedy Albert Finney of our century. You can do almost anything.
Well, thank you.
Would you ever play Scrooge someday?
I would, yeah. I was actually offered to do it a couple seasons ago, but I ended up doing Annie at Paper Mill.
Okay, because you wanted that haircut.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, hear from the soundtrack of Scrooge, Leslie Bricusse, and perfect way to get our penultimate number, because I want to thank you very much,
Christopher Sieber,
for being here today.
Always.
On behalf of all the people who have assembled here, I would merely like to mention, if I may, that our unanimous attitude is one of lasting gratitude for what our friend has done for us today. And therefore, I would simply like to say, thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's the nicest thing that anyone's ever done for me. I'm ace and double dutch, but my delight is such, I feel as if a losing war's been won for me. And if I had a flag, I'd hang me flag out to add a sort of final victory touch. But since I left me flag at home, I'll simply have to say thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very, very, very much. That's the nicest thing that anyone's ever done for me. It sounds a bit bizarre, but things the way they are, I feel as if another life's begun for me. And if I had a cannon, I would fire it to add a sort of celebration touch. But since I left me cannon alone, I simply have to say thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's the nicest thing that anyone's ever done for me. It is, and every day good fortune comes me way. I never thought the future would be fun for me. If I had a bugle, I would blow it to add a sort of as your father's touch. But since I left me bugle alone, I simply have to say thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very, very, very much.
No, no, dear Prince, it is I who should thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's the nicest thing that anyone's ever done for me. The future looks all right. In fact, it looks so bright. I feel as if they're polishing the sun for me.
And if I had a drum, I'd like to bang it to add a sort of rutty-tutty touch. But since I left me drummer at home, I simply have to say, thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very, very, very much.
And what a great session we've had with Christopher Sieber. If you want to have a great time, go see The Prom at the Long Acre Theater. And Chris, we want to end, I don't want to end without you singing, so what do we have here?
This is a song that our friend Bobby Day, when we were doing Shrek the Musical, he wrote this and produced it and recorded it all himself. He asked us all to come to his apartment, and we did this for Broadway Cares. It's a Broadway Cares Christmas CD that they sell every year. Broadway shows get together, and they record Christmas songs. You can do your own, or you can use something that's, you know, the free ones.
Right, right.
And Bobby decided to write this for our show, and It's just, he did such a fantastic job. It's a bit of an earworm, so enjoy.
There you go. Well, and our listeners want nothing more for the holidays than a Broadway show.
Absolutely.
This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.